So as we start to listen to the sermon and to reflect on God's word for our lives, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the God who speaks through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. And we pray that today we would hear your word and that you would open our hearts and minds to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, whoops. So today is week 3 of a sermon series called Learning to Hear the Voice of God. And this has been exciting for me, and I've had some good feedback as well about the sermons. Today's sermon is about hearing the voice of God together as a community. So I'm just going to, for those who haven't been here, I'm going to do a really quick recap of the past couple of sermons, and then we'll get into today's topic. This sermon series arises out of a conviction that God is a God who speaks. And when God speaks, things happen. The world is created, people are brought to faith, the dead are raised. When Jesus speaks, the 5,000 people are fed. Things happen when God speaks. We hear God's voice, particularly as we listen to God's word in Scripture. But there's also other ways that we can hear the actual still small voice of God, or we can understand what it is that God is saying to us. And we can do that today. That's my conviction and my joy, is that the people of God today can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit just like we see described, particularly, say, in the book of Acts and in the early church. Now, having been trying to practice what I preach, I'd like to tell you, with a little bit of trepidation, what I think it is that God has been saying to me for our church. And it goes like this. And before I describe each of these points, let me tell you that one of the things that the prayer network taught us, which I think is really important, is that when we begin to pray and listen to the voice of God, God does in us first what he wants to do in other people and in the world. So here in my prayer journal, which I talked about last time, there is a list of things where I'm hearing what I believe God is saying and seeing if I can put that into action. And it goes like this. Here's a few points. I think God is saying, teach my people to pray. I think God is saying, teach my people to give. I think God is saying, teach my people to fast. And then I think God is saying, teach my people to worship. Now, can anyone who was here last time remember the order of the three voices? Kathy, you might be able to help me out here. What's the first voice when you enter into listening prayer usually?
God.
Usually the voice of God,
yeah.
Telling you to step out, challenging you.
Yeah.
And the second voice?
Is the devil telling you not to do it.
Right. Excellent. So what do you think my response was when I think that I hear the Holy Spirit saying this? I'm going, did God really say that? I don't know about this. And then the third voice is?
Your own voice
going, yeah, maybe God didn't really say that. And so the third thing that I thought was, hang on, God, don't your people already know how to pray? Don't they already know how to worship and give and fast? Or the other thing was, I'm scared because I'm not sure that people are ready. But then the Holy Spirit pointed me back to the Scripture, where we once again hear and discern the voice of God. And if you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, and I'll just get people, it's on page 970 of the NIV Bible that's been handed out, page 970. And I'll just get people to read one verse at a time. Jess, can you read Matthew 6 verse 2?
So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets.
Thanks, that's enough. When you give, Kathy, can you read verse 5?
When you pray, don't be like
the... when you pray. Okay. And verse 16, Susie.
When you fast.
When you fast. And I'm going, praying, giving, fasting. Did Jesus talk about these things? Yes. Did he practice them? Yes. Did he tell his people to learn how to do them? Yes. Would this possibly be the voice of God encouraging me as a pastor and us as a community to enter into these classical spiritual disciplines that have been practiced for 2,000 years? Yes. Okay. Thanks, God. Thanks, Holy Spirit. I get it. Anyway, that is what is coming now in future sermons. So I'm just giving you a heads up, okay, that these topics, and they're challenging ones because they challenge our idolatries and our selfishness and the consumerism of our culture and a whole lot of other things which can stop us from following Jesus. Anyway, that's just a little example, hopefully, of how God can speak and what it is like to do what God is saying. Now, though, I want to talk with you about learning to hear the voice of God in community. And it's absolutely vital that we do this together. We're not isolated Christians. We're connected and we're part of the body of Christ. And we can help each other to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying and how to hear God's voice. Let's have a look at a couple of important Bible passages as a biblical basis for this. First, Matthew 18, 19 to 20. I like this one. Matthew 18, 19, 20, right? Matthew 18, 19, 20. Say that with me. Matthew 18, 19, 20. Very easy to remember and a very important verse. It's on page 985 of your Bible. And I'll get John to read out Matthew 18, 19, 20.
Here am I with them.
Okay, so Jesus says, where two or three gather in his name, there he is with them. The tagline of our church is walking with the risen Jesus. As we learn to listen to the voice of God together, we recognize that Jesus is actually present with us. Even when it's just two or three of us that are gathered in Jesus' name, Jesus is actually here. And through his Holy Spirit, he can help us to hear what God is saying. And now, a really practical example from Acts chapter 13. If you turn over to that, it's on page 1105. Page 1105. Beck, do you have that? Would you be able to read out Acts 13, 1 to 4?
Yes.
Antioch, sorry.
There were prophet teachers.
Manaean. Sorry, giving you a hard one.
Yeah. Who had been brought up with Herod, and the, while they were worshiping.
And one more verse.
The two of them on their way by the Holy Spirit.
Seleucia. Okay, so what are they doing in the church? What are they doing before God speaks?
Worshipping
and fasting also goes back to what I believe God is calling me to do, to teach us how to really worship. Worshipping is focusing on God, praising God for his goodness, focusing on his attributes, and they were fasting, right? And then in the midst of that community, the Holy Spirit speaks and says something and says, Saul and Barnabas, I want you to set them apart. I want you to send them off. Now, if you notice in verse 3, they, the disciples, place their hands on them and send them off. And then in verse 4, the two of them are sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, acting through the community, has spoken something that the community has done, and so God is working together with his church. The Spirit says, and I believe and have experienced that we as God's people can experience the voice of the Spirit in a way that is direct as Acts 13, set apart Saul and Barnabas for me for the work that they are about to do. The Holy Spirit speaks. So, how does this happen today, right? This is probably, and has been for me, for much of my Christian life, outside the realm of kind of normal experience. It's like, Pastor Nathan, you're saying all this stuff, but I've never experienced it. I know that. I'm like that as well. I'm learning this stuff, and it's really cool. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, there's a really important verse which talks about one way that this happens. So Ephesians is later on in the New Testament. Ephesians 2 is found on page 1174. And I'll just read for you verse 18 to 22. Paul writes, "Through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Holy Spirit." God lives among us by his Holy Spirit. We are built into a holy temple where God dwells, which is pretty amazing. So it's the Holy Spirit who orchestrates when a group of God's people get together. The Holy Spirit is the one who orchestrates how they hear the voice of God who dwells among them. Can anyone remember, who was here 2 weeks ago, what this acronym means? T-A-R-O. I know Kathy will. Kathy, it's?
Totally available, radically obedient.
Totally available and radically obedient. Okay, it's like, here I am, Lord. I'm willing to listen and I'm willing to obey what it is that you have to say. And this is, I'm going to share a couple of kind of examples and dot points with you from my own life. And I only use my own life because that's kind of the one that I know the best. All right. So often when we get together to do listening prayer, each person will only get a little piece of the puzzle. Right. And they'll be going, that doesn't make any sense. But once all the pieces come together and God lays out the picture before us, it's like, wow, that's pretty cool. And it actually makes sense because none of us is clever enough or big enough or anything to hold the entire revelation which God wants to give to us. So each of us has to get a part of it. So those pieces of the puzzle might be things like a word or phrase. The other night there was a phrase about, I see a cloud rising, which has a particular biblical reference. That was at the prayer night. And other people then responded to that and said, I think that God is saying this through that. It might be a picture. And if you look in the Old Testament, God loves to use bad puns with the prophets, right? You go, you read what the prophets are seeing and saying, and you go, that doesn't make any sense. But in Hebrew, it's often actually a pun. Like Jeremiah says, I see the branch of an almond tree, and the Lord says, yes, you've seen correctly because this is what's going to happen. And you go, there's no connection there, but there is, because in Hebrew, the word for a branch of an almond tree will be very similar to the word for something else that God is showing that is happening. So then, once we start getting these pieces of the puzzle, the community actually puts it together as the Holy Spirit orchestrates it. And as we speak or say what we are imagining in our mind or what word of scripture or phrase is coming to mind, other people then also who have the Spirit dwelling in them play into that and go, yeah, I think God might be saying this. And it's kind of an unfolding process. And together, as I said, we're a dwelling for the Holy Spirit, and together the Holy Spirit unfolds the way that that looks. Okay, here's a couple of examples. Because it's, as I said, it's a bit unexpected sometimes, a bit unusual. A few weeks ago, I went to our church's National Committee for New and Renewing Churches, which is the group that oversees church planting in the Lutheran Church of Australia. At one point, we'd kind of been going around in circles in our committee meeting, and I suggested that we stop and pray and that we listen to the voice of the Spirit. And as we did that, one person said, I get a picture of little isolated fires, flames. They're all separated and they're not very strong. But I get a picture that God is bringing those little flames together into a bigger fire, and that he is reigniting some of the coals that have kind of been left off the fire and bringing them back in and breathing things, the fire, into life. And someone else in the committee meeting actually started weeping because they had had a similar picture or vision of God's work in the LCA many, many years ago, and had been waiting for this time when that picture of a fire being fanned into flame was going to come true in the Lutheran Church. I left them, we heard a lot more, but I'm just telling you a little bit more about how that unfolded. I left the meeting in Adelaide and I flew to Albury, where I went to the Intermediate School of Prayer with Yvette. At that meeting, I told the people about the Lutheran Church's plan to plant new churches. Just very briefly, I said, this is very exciting, it's very new to us, but this is what God is calling us to do. People came to me after I said that at lunchtime and afternoon tea time, and they were praying for me, and they were saying things like, I see a fire. I see God building up a fire within the LCA, which is the fire of the Holy Spirit and the fire of mission and evangelism. And I'm just getting shivers up and down my spine. You know, there's, apart from the Holy Spirit, there is no connection between the person who prayed for me and said that thing about the fire and the people back in Adelaide who had also had that picture. So the Holy Spirit had brought together people who were separated by hundreds of kilometres to have the same picture, the same vision of what God was doing for the Lutheran Church. Kathy had mentioned the prayer night the other night here at Lakeside College. Recently in my journal, my prayer journal, I wrote something like this. There is an oppression over Lakeside College. Now, what I mean by that is that a lot of people who are Christians who have worked here have found it incredibly difficult. And it feels like sometimes the college is kind of an away game for Christian people, both students and staff. There's some kind of spiritual lid, and I don't know what that is or how to describe it or why it's there or anything like that. But I wrote in my journal, there's an oppression over the college. Kathy, Yvette and I were praying on Saturday, and Kathy was saying, she hadn't read my journal, by the way, she was saying, it feels like there's an oppression over the college. I'm going, yeah, okay, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking here. Thursday night, we came here, and there's a lady from Planet Shakers, who I've never met before, Kathy's never met before. We didn't tell her anything, and she started praying, for God to lift the oppression over the school, right? And we're going, well, as if that's not the Holy Spirit. And that's what that's part of what Kathy's talking about in terms of God is doing something here. And I've actually got shivers now, like one of my friend calls them Holy Spirit shivers, the little tingle that goes up and down your spine sometimes when God is doing something really cool. So those are just some examples. And it's not to say that's always what it looks like. It's going to be different in every circumstance, but the Holy Spirit is going to bring it together. Jess laughed when I said, you know, that lady was praying for the oppression to be lifted over the college. That's what God is like. He can do so much more than what we ask or imagine. It doesn't fit kind of in our brains. Okay, so what about us? How would that look as a community? Well, if we become a people who learn to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying, who learn to engage in listening prayer, this is really helpful. If we get together and we're doing some listening prayer, this prayer, here I am, Lord, what are you saying and what do others need to hear, is a really good prayer to pray. And then we're actually going to need the courage to speak, okay? And that's where it gets kind of freaky for us staid German Lutherans. Yes, I'm German, so I can say that. It's like, oh, but what if it's just me, you know? But when we don't speak, the other people that God wants to hear what we are seeing might actually miss out on what God wants for us. And so it might be as simple as, you know, I see a picture of a group of people walking around the lake. Or whatever it might be, we need the courage to actually step out, trust the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's involved in this process, that Jesus is here, step out and say those things, and the community will actually interpret and understand what that means. Kathy's nodding and smiling. Why does that?
It sounds so crazy and hippie, and the rational, logical mind says, oh, come on, it's just a... But, you know, I flatter myself I'm a reasonably rational person, and I've seen all this stuff happen very recently as we've been going through this process. So that's why I was kind of smiling. People think we're crazy, but it's not crazy.
Jess probably does. No.
I'm joking. Crazy. That's why I'm laughing.
Ah, right. Yeah, well, Paul said we're fools for Christ, so. Now, here's a problem, okay? And this is one that strikes me, and it goes like this. We begin to hear the voice of God together as a group, whether we're praying or in church, and we get so excited, and then we start to strategize and plan and go, right, so God's showing me a little bit of his will, now we'll start working on it. Instead of continuing to hear the voice of God. All right, we go into human strategies and human plans and go, I reckon we could do this, what God is saying, by doing this. And we're not listening anymore. And what God wants to do is to keep unfolding God's plan and for God to give his strategy to the group of people so that we don't... And it's actually a really hard discipline, because when we've done this, I notice... We get off track. We stop listening and we start going, oh, this blah, 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 blah. And maybe we could do this, and maybe we could do that. And it's like, hey, maybe God has actually more for us to unfold yet. Sorry, I'm not rebuking Kathy or Yvette, but we've had this experience a bit, haven't we? So Galatians 3, verse 1 to 4. Can we turn to that? That is at page... Oh, thank you, 1169. The solution to that, of course, is to keep listening and to keep staying with what the Holy Spirit is doing. Yvette, can you read those verses for us, please?
Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? For your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. See the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain?
Read verse 5 as well.
It really was in vain. So again I ask, does God give you Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard?
Okay, so Paul says, begin with the Spirit and then don't go off and go, okay, now we can do everything by human effort. Keep with the Spirit. Stick with what God is saying. Stick with what the listening process. And God gives his Spirit and works miracles as we trust in God, as we believe in God, not as we do our own human planning about how things are going to happen. All right. Conclusion. The really exciting part of all this, and the really exciting part of learning to hear the voice of God and to be totally available and radically obedient, is that we get to be part of God's redemptive purposes. God is looking for people who will partner with him in what he is doing in bringing restoration and forgiveness and healing to our world. Aaron?
Okay. Can you explain what that means?
Absolutely. Thank you for pulling me up on that. So we actually get to be part of God's plan. We get to be a part of what God is doing in this world to make things right, to fix up relationships, to bring forgiveness between people, to restore the world and the ecology, there's a big word, the environment, also a big word. Does that's helpful? We actually get to be a part of what God is doing. Ephesians 2 verse 8 is a favorite verse for Lutherans, but we often leave out verse 9 and 10. And that's I want to read that because I think it's really important here. Okay, because it's not about our salvation or our faith, but it is about being part of what God is doing in this world and seeing that unfold. So does someone have that, the page number? 1174. Okay. Yvette, can you read that one again, please?
Sure. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. That's a favorite verse of Lutherans. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works, no one can boast, it's all God. All right, but what do we leave off?
For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
See how faith and good works go together? And see how good works are not the way that we win God's favour, but actually God's handiwork that he's prepared before for us. So as we learn to listen, as we learn to live in faith and to step out in that way, we get to be doing the good stuff that God has prepared for us from long ago. We get to partner with him in the great things that he is doing. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. It's not the good works that save us. Luther put it this way, okay? He said, we are saved by faith alone. And everyone went, yay, that's great. And Luther said, but faith is never alone. It's a busy, mighty, active thing. It's always doing something. It's always doing good work. And that's the really exciting part of learning to hear the voice of God in community. As we step out in obedience, we get to be partners with God. How great would it be if we were a community that was hearing and doing the voice of God together? It'd be awesome. Amen. In Jesus' name.